Hello, my name is Tommy Hefner, and I preach this message at a radio station in Belmont, North Carolina. I'm the pastor of Bible Baptist Church. If you're ever in North Carolina between Charlotte and Gastonia and would like to visit us, please call 704-263-1611 and ask for directions to our church. I hope this message be a blessing to you, and thank you for listening.
The name of this message is the importance of the Word of God. Now, when I say Word, I'm not talking about the message in the Bible. I'm not talking about what somebody thinks the Word says. I'm talking about the Word that the Bible talks about when it says Word. There's in my text is Psalm 138 and verse 2. And I'll start up reading that and then I'll pray. Psalm 138, verse 2 says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. That's a small W-O-R-D right there. It's the written word. Let's get a little in prayer. Father, thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for shedding your blood on the cross for our sins, Lord. I pray, Father, that you bless this message this morning. I pray the Holy Spirit of God bear witness to your words. I pray that you help me, Father, to make it clear and plain to folks out there listening. I ask you, Father, to quicken their heart, Lord, about all these translations and this wickedness in this world today, Lord. I pray that you'd help them to see that you got one absolute final authority. And you got one absolute final way to be saved, Lord, and that's through you completely, Lord. Now I pray now that you bless the word, bless your message, and help me, Lord, to say the right things at the right time. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, whenever you see the word with a capital W in the Bible, it's a reference to Jesus Christ. For example, in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Every one of those words that says word there, the capital W. And whenever you see a small W-O-R-D in the Bible, it's referring to the written words. For example, in Luke 21:33, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Small W-O-R-D-S. His words. Do you have his words today? Well, we're going to see in just a few minutes whether you have them or whether they're in some other book or whether you got the right book. If you don't have the right book, you need to throw that thing in the trash and go get you a book, the right book. Now, I believe if you'll be honest and objective and listen to the differences between the AV, the Authorized King James Bible, with an open mind, you'll see that God preserved his perfect words in a perfect form. He gave his words to the people they were intended for at the very time he purposed it. For example, before Moses wrote anything, God talked personally to Adam, Cain, Noah, Abraham. Then God moved Moses and the other prophets in the Old Testament to speak or write the words he wanted them to say without impairing or destroying their individual personalities and style at the very time he intended for them to write. And then the scribes would write them down. Now I'm going to go through some of the blasphemous changes in the other versions. And I want you to think just a minute before I start on this. You think, who inspired these? Who inspired the changes that's made from this in these new versions? In Luke 2:33, the King James Bible says, Joseph and his mother marvel at those things which are spoken of him. Now, you know what the other versions say? Just about every single one of them said the child's father and mother. That attacks the deity of Jesus Christ. That makes Joseph his father. And that's Luke is the one saying it. It's a doctrinal statement. It's not like somebody just saying, there's a couple of places where it says his father and mother, but it's talking about what the Pharisees said. It's not a doctrinal statement in the book of Luke, see? So, in Luke 1:35, it says, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So that wasn't Joseph wasn't his father. And this next verse here also tells you that. And this is another verse that all the other versions attack. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Every other verse, check them out. If you've got any other verses out there, check them out. They'll say "he who," or they'll say something else, but they'll take the word "God" out of that verse. God was manifested in the flesh. All right, let's go to another verse. In Matthew 5, verse 22, the Bible says in the Authorized King James Bible, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." Now, did Jesus get angry? Sure he did. In Mark 3:5, the Bible says, "And when he looked around about them, with anger," see? Now, the other versions take out "without a cause." And if you do that, you make a sinner out of Jesus Christ by doing that. But see, if you leave that clause in, without a cause, he had a reason for it. He went into the temple and cleaned out the temple. When he did that, you don't think he was angry when he turned upside those tables and run those people out of there with a whip? You better believe he got angry. The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. All right, here's another one. Colossians 1:14 says, "In whom we have redemption, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Now, guess which one, which part of that verse all the liberal translations take out? All the devil's translations. "Through his blood." They attack the blood atonement. Listen, there's no forgiveness without the blood of Jesus Christ. And his blood had to be pure blood, too. All right, in Psalms 9:17, the Bible says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Now, the new versions send the wicked to the same place Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob went to by changing hell to grave or Sheol. In Genesis 49:33, the Bible says, "And when Jacob made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet unto the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people." Jacob went to paradise. His body went to the grave, see? Now, the NIV says this, "The wicked return to the grave, all the nations that forget God." Now, how can the wicked return to the grave? He wasn't born in the grave, see? A bunch of liars. The Hebrew word for grave is transliterated Sheol. The same Hebrew word is used in, and I'm not going to Hebrew to change anything, I'm just going to show you how what they're doing. It says in Proverbs 23:14, "Shall thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell." Now the same Hebrew word, where they use hell right there in his other translations, they change it to grave. But whether you whip a child or not, when he dies, he's going to the grave. So the King James Bible is right, and all the rest of the Bibles is wrong. If you got any other translation that you use, if your preacher gets up and stands and reads out of another translation, he's going along with the devil and his crowd. And I tell you right now, you'll answer to a holy God one day for your wickedness and for going along with that stuff. You better find you a King James Bible-believing church and get in it and stay in it and believe the book. All right. First point here is God's word is important because of what he uses, because that's what he uses to accomplish his will. In Isaiah 55:8, the Bible says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Now watch it. Whenever he says as and so, he's going to show you something. And that's the way if you want to learn the Bible, look at these as's and and sows, and you'll get something from the Word of God. Because he uses illustrations then. For he says, as the heavens are higher than earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Some of you people probably think that you just know just about as much as God does. I'm sure some of you preachers do, because you right now you're mad because I said something about your pet translation. It says, as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word, small W-R-D, be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now, you can't understand exactly how the rain and snow comes down and makes seeds in the ground grow, and so neither can you understand how putting out the seed, which is the Word of God, can save a soul from hell. But it will. Our responsibility is sow seeds. Sow the seed of the Word of God and water them with prayer. And let God give the increase. Now, God uses His words to convict a saved person. In Psalm 119:9, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And then verse 11 says, thy word, all that small W-R-D, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, when I was in my 20s, I was working over at Sadaka. We used to be Sadaka across the river over there. And I quit and went up our Gaston County Dye Machine Company. And when I did, I had a whole pile of tools in there, you know, and I took them all out. Took my tools, I took company tools and everything, just piled them all in the box and took them all home with me. You say, was you saved then? Absolutely. This has saved anybody out there. When I was 10 years old, I seen myself a lost sinner, and I received Jesus Christ. But I got backslid because I didn't read the book, I didn't study the book, I didn't learn anything from the book, see? And because of that, I was a baby, and I didn't get right with the Lord until I was 30 years old. And when I did get right with the Lord, rededicated my life to the Lord, then I saw, I started hearing some preaching, you know, and I heard a fellow preach on stealing. Well, I left the church quick as he started talking about that, you know. I got to thinking about all them tools down there. And we live up on Philadelphia Church Road at that time, and I had a building back up behind the house, and I had all my tools and stuff in there, and I'd go down to the little barn down there. We had all kind of livestock and stuff, and I walked down there, and sure enough, every time I walked by that building, the Lord said, you need to take them tools back. You better take them tools back. So I sent them back. So the Lord will use the Word of God to convict a saved person. Any of you people out there stole anything, extorted money from anybody that you need to get it straightened out? You better get it straightened out. Better get it straightened out. Now, God's Word is important because that's what He uses as a means of the new birth. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word, small W-R-D, of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Now, we put out scripture signs in people's yards all over this county. And it started over there in Mecklenburg County. We moved over here. There's a bunch of them over there. Last I heard, there's 70-some over there, and there's probably at least that many over here in Gaston County. But we put the Word of God out so people can read it. Drive by and see the signs. And let the Holy Spirit take it. If you got a sign in your yard, you need to pray about that sign and ask the Lord to use it. And the Holy Spirit will water that word, and somebody will see it and read it and get saved. A woman drove by a sign up there in Virginia, I heard about one time, and drove by there, and he just put it out that Saturday, and The woman drove by the sign that Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, and on Thursday she stopped and turned around. And the verse said, "Fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And so she went up there and knocked on a man's door. He didn't know how to lead the Lord, but he took her to his pastor, and she got saved. Then right after that, her husband was in service. He came home, and he got saved. Both of them in that church right now, see? They're serving the Lord. So there's another fellow down there in Mount Holly. Same thing happened. And he used it wasn't nothing but just a verse that says, "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil." And he thought he wasn't very wise. So what did he do? He stopped at there's a little old church right there close to that sign. He stopped, and the man led him to the Lord. Listen. Every man, every person that you know, or your first person, no good. You had to see yourself lost. You see that you're dead in trespasses and sins, without hope and without God. The Bible says, "Wherefore, but one man, sin, entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now, when we heard or read the Word of God, somebody prayed for us, and the Holy Spirit cut that Word into our heart and reproved it for our sins. And John 16 says, "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me." If you don't see your righteousness is no good, then you'll never trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you think you're all right, you know, you better, then you're going to hell. Your righteousness is no good. The only righteousness I have is in Jesus Christ. Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. See? Righteousness. Next thing. God's word is important because it's the only way you can grow as a Christian. In 1 Peter 2:2, the Bible says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby." If I'd have got in the Bible like I should have when I was 10 years old, right after I got saved, a lot of things I went through wouldn't have happened to me. I got a lot of whippings. I don't like whippings from the Lord. I didn't like them from Daddy, but I certainly don't like them from the Lord. And you'll get whippings if you say, the Lord is just like your youngins. Your Heavenly Father is going to whip you. You could do anything. I know people that, Christians, that have done anything any lost person do. But boy, they sure got whippings. Now, when you get saved, you're a brand new person, and that new person's inside of you, the Holy Spirit. And if you feed him with the words of God and prayer and preaching and singing, you'll grow and be happy. If you feed your flesh with TV, movies, gossip, lust, dirty jokes, soap operas, sports, worldly magazines, that flesh will run your life and your spirit will be stagnant. I didn't say you lost your salvation, I say your spirit will be stagnant. Which have you been feeding on? People nowadays, they think they love sport. They love sports more than they love anything. I'll tell you what, it's getting bad. You better get in the Bible. You better start reading the Bible and find you a Bible-believing Baptist church, what you better do. Now, next thing, the word that's above God's name will build you up. In Acts 20:32, it says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." Some of you folks go to spas, and you get up there, and you lift them weights, and you try to make yourself look beautiful, you know, and you think you walk around, strut around with the muscles, you know, thinking you're somebody. You know what you are? You worm food. You go into the grave. All that's going to rot, you know, in the grave. You better get your inside straightened out. That's what you better do. You know, the King James Bible has all the ingredients for you to survive anywhere. The word's like in the apples and milk. There's your vitamins. It's like in the honey. There's your dextrose. It's likened to meat, that's your protein. Bread, there's your starch. It's likened to a sword, there's your protection. And by the way, I take it the sword's talking about a gun. You better have your gun to protect yourself, or you're worse than the infidel if you don't protect your family. All this gun control stuff is of the devil. Next thing is hammer and nails, so you can build with. Fire, Word of God's like unto a fire, where you can boil and cook your food. It's like unto a lamp, where you can see by. And it's like unto a mirror, so you can see what you are and clean yourself up as a Christian. The Word of God is likened to all that stuff. Now, not only that, but the Word that's above God's name also give you an inheritance. The last part of Acts 20:32 says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." That's your reward for serving the Lord down here on this earth during the thousand-year reign. Your reward's in the thousand-year reign. Here's another verse about your inheritance. "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance." Now, how do you get an inheritance? It all hinges on what you do with God's words. If you're saved, it's because His words told you you was lost. His words told you how to grow as a Christian once you get saved. His words tells you how to about the inheritance you can have if you're serving. Do you have God's words, or do you have the words that the devil's perverted? Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And in Psalms 138:2 again, I'll worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness, and for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Now, Brother Jay is going to play some music to finish out the program as quick as I pray now. And may the Lord bless you through His words. Father, I thank you for Jesus. Thank you for helping me get through this message. I pray, Father, that you bless your word. Again, I pray that it wouldn't return void, but it was established that which you please. And I thank you for your many blessings and a word that we can get a hold of and have and believe. And ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.